Well, good morning. It is such an honor to be here with you. I love your church. I'm so grateful for the friendship I'm able to have with your church and with those on your staff. It's been my privilege to be here several times for various things, and I'm always impacted by the kindness, the hospitality, the genuine love for the Lord and His Word that you enjoy here. And I just want you to know that it is not something I take lightly to have the invitation and privilege to stand before you to open God's Word. Let me invite you to turn with me to Psalm 23. Very familiar words that will serve as our text this morning for both sessions. As was mentioned, I've been married to my wife since 1996. And in those 28 years, the Lord has been kind to allow us to enjoy such a happy, joy-filled home. Imperfect. My life is imperfect. My family's imperfect. Our church is imperfect. I would never pretend anything other than that. But by God's grace, we've been able to enjoy just a very joy-filled marriage. And the reason for that is because we both love the Lord, we both believe His Word, and both strive as best we can in God's grace to live according to it. And our God is gracious. Amen? Our God is gracious. Ultimately, the thrill of being married, if you're going to make it, comes down to grace. Grace the Lord gives to us, grace that we seek to then share. The Lord in His kindness gave us two sons. If you've got children at home that you're raising today, I would say to you to obviously enjoy every moment, but also not to fear the future. I loved being an everyday dad. I don't love my sons more than you love your children. I understand that. But I loved my sons being at home as much as I possibly could. I loved being a dad every day. But empty nest life is nothing to fear. It's been good. It's been sweet. And now the Lord in His providence has blessed us with two grandchildren this summer. We went from no grandkids to two within 10 weeks. My oldest son gave us our first grandchild, a boy named Sutton Michael. And 10 weeks later, our youngest son and his wife gave us our first granddaughter, Rosie Mae. And these days are good. And I could tell you about my life, and I wouldn't have to exaggerate anything. I could just tell you truth after truth after truth, and you would be convinced at the end of that I have the best life there is. I could tell you other stories that are just as true, needing no exaggeration, and you might ask me how I get up in the morning and deal with it. That's true for you too. Life has lots of joy, lots of good, but as we just have sung together, it has some valleys. Is that true for you? Lots of joys, lots of highs, but some valleys. And for some of us men, it's the days where things are good and plentiful that we can tend to forget the Lord sometimes. And if your life right now is in a season of particular blessing, it may be a day where you need to be very cautious. For others, maybe it's more the opposite. Maybe when life is good, you tend to walk with the Lord and pray and seek His Word. But maybe for you, it's in the valley where you're tempted to question the faithfulness of God, the goodness of God. What we know as God's children, if He is our shepherd, is the shepherd is near no matter what, every season. The Lord is near His people when you're on the mountaintop, and the Lord is near His people when you're in the valley. He's not more good when things seem good. He hasn't forsaken you when things seem hard. And what I want to try to encourage you with today is to set your mind and therefore your heart as you consider it on this truth that for most of us we have known from our earliest days. In fact, the phrase is so common, you could be awakened from dead sleep and you could complete it. The Lord is my shepherd. We know that. We say that. These are words that are well known for believers and unbelievers. These are words we find in songs, in art, on decorations. These are words that believers and unbelievers alike would be familiar with, the 23rd Psalm. This has been kind of a home base for me this year. I did some study and teaching from it and have recently done some writing on it. And it's just been a chapter that, though it's something I've known, like you and probably most of us have memorized since we were children, it is a psalm that is becoming more and more alive in my life as I not only think about the seasons of my personal life, but as I walk through seasons of life with people that I get to pastor. I've been at my church for 24 years, and so I've seen a lot of seasons of life with people. And I just find myself more and more wanting people to understand the richness of the truth of being able to declare as God's child, the Lord is my shepherd. In every season. Even in this room this morning, I have no doubt that if we could take time and let everybody share where they are in life, for some of you, you are in moments that are so joy-filled, you can't stand it. For others of you, you're in a season of what just probably seems like prolonged suffering or disappointment. This is just real life. There's no perfect families, there's no perfect churches, there's no perfect ministries. And what we have to be able to do as men is follow the Lord and then lead those entrusted to our care to do nothing less than follow the Lord every day of our life. And if you've got a wife at home, that's your first ministry. If you've got children at home, you want to be faithful to shepherd them. If you are a Sunday school teacher or a small group leader of any kind, if you own a business and you're influencing lives that way, however and wherever the Lord has you, I just want to, in these couple of sessions together, remind you of what you know, that the Lord is our shepherd. It's no exaggeration to say that every single word in that first phrase deserves its own emphasis. It is the Lord who is our shepherd. This is Yahweh. This is the God who has revealed himself to his people. It's not just that you have a shepherd. It is the Lord who is our shepherd. Just the very first phrase that we see here in our English translation should jump off the page to us. The Lord. The Lord. This is his covenantal name. And this expresses the singular hope that we have as God's people. Men, our hope is in the Lord. This world will try to convince you of 1,000 different things to put your hope and your confidence in. But understand the hope that we have, it comes exactly from the last verse of the song Seth just led for us. The Lord gives us, what do we say? Himself. The Lord gives us himself. This is the hope that we have, gentlemen, that it is the Lord who is our shepherd. He gives us himself. But the very next word for us, the Lord is. The Lord is my shepherd. This isn't just wishful thinking. This isn't just a possibility. This is a statement of confidence. The Lord is my shepherd. Which means, gentlemen, if you belong to him, every day that you wake up, you claim the truth that the Lord is your shepherd. Not the Lord was my shepherd. Not the Lord may be my shepherd. Not the Lord could be my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. This is today. And whatever you're facing, the Lord is. And then it's the next word. It's the word that Charles Spurgeon called the sweetest monosyllable in the English Bible. The word my. The Lord is my shepherd. Don't be too quick to move past that word my. This is not saying the Lord is a shepherd. This isn't saying the Lord is your shepherd or their shepherd. This is the psalmist saying, the Lord is my shepherd. There's relationship. Now, for those this morning who may be here that you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you don't have a relationship with the Father through Christ the Son, I do want to make clear that the promises in Scripture for God's people are exclusive to those who are His. And if this morning you don't know Christ as your Savior, the greatest thing you could do this day is repent of your sin and ask the Lord for forgiveness and mercy. The Lord is a compassionate Savior. But He is uniquely a shepherd to His own. The Scripture refers to God's people as the sheep of His pasture. And for those of us that belong to Him, we can say, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, it's true that as men and as ladies and children, we're saved into a family. We're not spiritual lone rangers. We're saved into the family of God. But while we are a part of a family, let us never forget that the Lord knows and loves each one of His sheep. The Lord is my. And our last word, He's a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. My wife and I have had the privilege to lead a couple of trips to Israel. In the times I've been there, something has happened both times is always striking to me. Most recently, we were there about a year and a half ago. We're on the bus going down this highway and we're going to our next site to see, and we have to come to a stop on the highway because right in front of us was this large flock of sheep. And surrounding the sheep were shepherds. Today, this profession didn't die out. There are still shepherds. Now, the shepherds look different than the pictures we saw in Sunday school growing up. The shepherds today wear blue jeans and Nikes and carry iPhones. They look a little different. But you know what they're doing? Shepherding sheep. Still, what does a shepherd do? Guides, leads, protects, feeds, defends, rescues. When we say the Lord is my shepherd, what we're saying is everything that the shepherd does for his sheep physically is a reminder of who God is and what God does for us spiritually. Now, Psalm 23 is not the first time in the Old Testament the metaphor of a shepherd is used for the Lord. That happens in Genesis 48 as Jacob spoke of the Lord as a shepherd. It is a picture, though, that's used here and in Psalm 23 and in the New Testament to give us some way to think of how the Lord cares for His own. And the first thing I want to encourage you men with this morning, before you're a father, before you're a grandfather, before you're a husband, before you're a pastor, before you're a business owner, before you're a student, first, if you're a believer, first, you're a follower of the Lord. Everything else can be taken away, removed. That's who you are forever. We are men who can wake up as God's children, saved by grace through faith, every day and say, no matter what today holds, no matter what comes my way, this much I know, the Lord is my shepherd. Such simple words, loaded with meaning. The Lord is my shepherd. We've got some young men here that I see, and I'm so glad some of our young guys are here with us this morning. And I want to speak for just a minute to those of you who are under 18. If you're a believer, I want you to understand there will be nothing greater in life that you could ever cling to than the biblical assurance that the Lord is your own shepherd. If the Lord wills for you to be married, that's great. The Lord wills for you to have a great career, that's wonderful. But there will be no blessing you ever have given to you greater than the truth that as God's child, you can say, the Lord is my shepherd. The greatest blessing, the greatest protection for you comes from what God has given to you, not something you go out and try to earn yourself in this world. Now, fathers, grandfathers, we've got to be able to remind those under our shepherding care that the greatest blessing they can know is the Lord is their shepherd, and the greatest way for us to convince them of that is that we would live in light of that truth every single day. I think as dads, one of the things that we want to do when our boys are at the home or sons or daughters are at the house when they're growing up is we want to help them know the nearness of God, the faithfulness of a shepherd. And while they're young, they're learning about some of the characteristics of their Heavenly Father as they learn about us. They're learning about strength and teaching. They're learning about patience and grace and forgiveness from what they see in us. And while that's true that even a great earthly father would be no substitute for someone to know the Lord as their Heavenly Father, it is incumbent upon us to teach our children what true love and grace is all about. And we want to shepherd our families. And just like the Lord is with us, as we've sung about this morning, through every season, and as the song says, even if I stay in the valley, the Lord Himself is our peace. Let's be reminded that we want to give unconditional love and affection to those in our life, not simply for the sake that they would love us, but so that they can have some grasp of what it means to have a shepherd who will never leave them or forsake them. I want to show you a picture. If we can bring this up on the screen here. This is a picture that's really near and dear and personal to me. And it'll take a little bit of explanation, okay? So this is my oldest son. I've got two sons. I love them equally. I just happen to have these pictures of my oldest son, okay? So besides, my oldest son wouldn't mind me talking about him. My youngest son wouldn't want me to talk about him. So it works out. This is my oldest son, Cale, in both pictures. The picture on the left was this past May. He had just graduated law school. And as you might understand, it was an incredibly difficult 3-year journey. But he made it. We prayed him through. We encouraged him through. He did all the hard work. But everything a shepherd does for the sheep, I tried to do for him, including rescue and everything else that can be done. He came to give me a big hug after he'd gotten his graduation diploma on the left, and we just collapsed in each other's arms knowing what these last 3 years had meant. The picture on the right was taken last month. He graduated in May. He took the bar exam at the end of July. You have to wait 7 weeks to get the results. Now, I won't bore you with the details, but there was so much writing on this bar exam for him. In between these two pictures, you can barely see it's just the cutest arm you've ever seen there on the very far right. That's Sutton Michael, my grandson, getting just absolutely squashed between me and Cale. This morning, on a Friday morning, Cale had found out he passed the bar. And he drove over to our house to tell us. What you can't see is that my grandson's wearing a onesie that his wife had made. It says, "Don't drop me, my daddy's an attorney." That was his way of telling us that he had passed the bar. He came out, we went outside, I saw what the onesie said, I knew what that meant. And so just spontaneously, I just grabbed my son and hugged him. If I show you these two pictures, you think to yourself, man, life's pretty sweet. Graduated law school, passed the bar. What a great season of life. Let me show you another picture. This is from our home security cameras. My wife went back and found this and sent it to me. This was about 3 days before the bar. And Cale had come to my house. He had been studying 14 hours a day for 8 weeks. In the middle of graduation and taking the bar, they had a baby. Great time of joy. Not ideal for bar prep, you know, but a great joy. About 3 weeks later, his wife was taken by ambulance from their house on a Saturday night to the ER. My son called me Saturday about midnight. I knew it was quite rare because he knew I was preaching the next day. He said, "Dad, I don't have time to talk. They're taking Bailey to the ER in an ambulance. Can you get to the house?" So we rushed to their house. And for the next 5 or 6 weeks, she couldn't drive. My wife and I and Cale had to take turns going to sit with her and the baby, driving her to doctor's appointments. All the while, Cale is trying to study for the bar exam with so much writing on it. He came to my house 3 days before the test, and he was just broken. 8 weeks of exhaustion, of studying for the bar, having a newborn, carrying the weight of his wife being sick, all kinds of fear and trepidation with that. And he came into the house and he just stopped by to get something, and I could just tell he was at the bottom. And I walked out and I just got him out of the car and I just hugged my son. And when I see that picture, it breaks my heart. Because I know while my son was carrying. Let me show you one last picture. All three of those pictures are true. May really was a great celebration of law school. The grainy one in the middle was a really hard season. And the one on the right really was a great time of celebration. All three of those pictures are true. If I were to talk to you about how the last 3 or 4 months for my family has been, I would say, which one do you want to talk about? The right, middle, or left? Because they're all true. At the same time. And what I wanted my son to know, from the time my boys were babies, I just wanted my sons to know, whatever you face, your dad's going to be there right beside you. Whatever it is. I'm an imperfect dad. I don't want you to take anything away otherwise. I'm an imperfect father. but I never wanted it to be strange to hug my sons. Because I don't know what seasons of life they're going to need shepherded through. And I went back and saw these pictures and I thought, you know what? That's my life as a dad. Standing beside my sons no matter what. You want to celebrate? Let's celebrate. You feel broken at the bottom? Let me try as best I can to pick you up. That's just a snapshot of the last 3 or 4 months of our life. You've got your own pictures you could put together too. So when we were singing just a minute ago about the Lord Himself is our peace, the Lord Himself is our strength, the Lord gives us Himself. As a father, I just want, as imperfect as I am, to try to be a living example for my family of what it means to shepherd your home, no matter how old they are. As a side note, let me say, dads, don't ever stop hugging your sons. When they're little, it's cute. When they're teenagers, it's a little messy and oily and smelly. Don't ever quit hugging your sons. And when you think of your life, when you wake up, sometimes your mind goes to the middle picture. And you think about how hard life is. All the struggles and challenges. Sometimes your mind may go to the right picture. Wow, we made it through the valley. And I just want you to know that everything we learn to be true about the Lord is there for you in every season of life. Thank you for helping me with those pictures. I'm not a perfect shepherd to my family. I'm the best I can. I'm imperfect. But what I hope my family learns is that whatever they have received from me as a shepherd to them is just a glimpse, just a picture of the one true great shepherd. And so I show those pictures because I want you to understand something. That in your life, just like in mine, you've got the outside pictures and you've got the inside middle picture, don't you? The last year of your life, there's been moments that were so happy, I'm sure. And probably some moments that felt like that middle black. It's kind of appropriate that middle picture is grainy and black and white, kind of distorted, because that's how my son felt that night. I just want you to know that whatever season you're going through, you'll never outgrow your need to know the Lord is your shepherd. And whatever season you're in, He will always be near. For the dads who are here, I want to challenge you to see yourself as a representative of that shepherding love and shepherding care in your home, but not so that your family sees you as the great shepherd. They would just see you as the under-shepherd. That's true for us that pastor churches. Your pastors here are shepherds, and they're here to walk with you through every season of life, but they're not the ultimate shepherd in and of themselves. Their responsibility is to love you and serve you and guide you and protect you and feed you and defend you, but to do it as they point away from themselves and unto the one true shepherd. This is what Paul said in 1 Corinthians, imitate me as what? As I imitate Christ. Your leaders, your shepherds, your pastors are here to serve you and love you and lead you, but just in an effort to drive you to the one true chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is my shepherd. And look at this next phrase, I shall not want. Well, we understand this doesn't mean that you'll not have any other desires. I mean, I desire to shepherd my church faithfully. I desire to see my family walk with the Lord. Just because you love the Lord doesn't mean there's nothing else you desire. What it means for us to say this is that we won't lack anything we need in that moment. because the Lord is my shepherd, we'll have all that we need. In other words, the psalmist here is saying, if he was not my shepherd, there would be all kinds of things I would need. But because the Lord is my shepherd, I will have everything I need. And men, can I remind you of that simple truth this morning? That your greatest need is the Lord, and if you know the Lord, you already possess everything you need. Now, if you forget that, you're going to look to your job for meaning. You're going to look to your bank account for meaning. You're going to look to your wardrobe or your car or your house. Men will come up with no end of things we will look to give our lives meaning and define us. But if you're looking outside of the Lord Himself, you will always be looking for something to meet your need. It's going to always be just a bit out of step because there's nothing of this world that can satisfy. But here's the promise of Psalm 23. Because, not just because you have a shepherd, because it is the Lord who is your shepherd, you will have everything you need. So I want you to wake up every morning and think in some way of that. Before you attack school or before you go to football practice or before you begin to go to the office, whatever it is the Lord has you doing, begin every day just acknowledging that you have the Lord as your shepherd. And because that's true, you have everything you need in that moment. Now, the Bible doesn't hide from us that we still go through the valleys. Psalm 23 speaks of the valley. The song we sung to open with speaks of the valley. The Bible doesn't hide that reality. And it's good that it doesn't, because if every one of you men could stand up here and speak for 4 or 5 minutes about your life, you'd have to speak of some valleys, wouldn't you? There's a lot of valleys represented in this room here this morning. Life can be hard. I know several of you a little bit. I know a few of you very well. And I know, as you know, that the men I know the best in this room have been through some valleys. You can't be so faithful that you don't have to go through the valley. It's not the way life works. You can't read your Bible enough to where you're exempt from the valleys. So we need to remind ourselves that just because you're in the valley does not negate the promise of verse 1. It reminds us of why we need the shepherd with us. And because he is our shepherd, we have everything that we need. There's such great trust that's spoken of here. There's such great security that's spoken of here. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm going to have everything I need. About 5 nights ago, my wife and I had, we were just gone to sleep. We had hosted a conference in our church last weekend and had a great time. I was up about 5 o'clock every night. We got to bed about about midnight. It was just super, super long days, about 4 nights in a row. Had church Sunday, went to sleep Sunday night, just exhausted. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, something happened that's probably happened to you that just unnerves you. I got awakened at 3 a.m. with the burglar alarm going off. Now, I don't know what you do when the burglar alarm goes off at 3 o'clock in the morning, but I don't have like a great sophisticated plan. I don't have a SWAT team that kicks into gear. I don't have armed security that takes over. My plane is the same as yours. I told my wife, go check it out. Report back to me. Not really. Not really. I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I start scurrying to the house having no idea what I'm going to do if I find someone. I just know this. that at 3 a.m. with the burglar alarm going off, if someone's taking a bullet or a fist or a knife, I'm taking it first. That's all I know. I'm taking it first. When people think about being a leader, it's often thought of in some kind of glamorous thing. That's not leadership. Leadership is running toward the fire, not away from it. It was maybe 10 years ago. My wife and I were laying in bed and fixing to go to sleep, and my wife says to me, "What are you doing?" Because she could tell I was still awake. And I said, "I'm just going through my end of the night routine." And she said, "What is that?" And I said, my boys were at home at the time. I said, "I'm just kind of thinking through, like I do every night. What am I going to do if the alarm goes off? What am I going to do if I hear glass break? What am I going to do if I wake up and smell smoke? Our boys were upstairs." And she said, "You think about that?" And I said, "Every night. It's not a long thing, but yeah, I think every night of my life. What would I do to protect and defend my family?" And my wife said, "I've never once thought of that." Because she's not the shepherd in the home. That responsibility falls on me. Now, I don't want my family to depend on me ultimately. Because though 5 nights ago, if it ended up, by the way, just so you're not in suspense, it wasn't a burglar. To make it worse, I don't know what it was still. I don't think it was a burglar. If it was, he's been a very, very quiet house guest. Some of you are afraid that I got shot. I didn't get shot. I don't want my family to depend on me ultimately, because while I would take a bullet for them, I cannot forgive sin for them. Not ultimately. So men, while there is a part of you as a leader in your family and a leader in your home, that you understand what it means to say that you would lay down your life for your family, and as men, we should do that, there is a greater need than simply defending them physically or providing for them financially. We need to lead them to the Savior. Amen? Because while there are all kinds of things we would do and we try to do for our families, our wives and our children, our grandchildren, we cannot grant them salvation. So the leadership that we seek to give to our families must be the kind of leadership that is pointing them to the Lord. So when I say the Lord is my shepherd, we have all that we need. That's true because of who our shepherd is. So I just want to encourage you, gentlemen, as you lead in your families, as you bring your family to church, as you do family devotion time at your home with your families, remind them that while you are a under shepherd for them, the chief shepherd is where they find their greatest security. For those who are pastors and leaders of the church, while you shepherd the flock of God faithfully here, as you do so, remind them that you're under shepherds trying to lead them to the one true shepherd who alone can provide everything they need. But gentlemen, you'll never wake up one morning if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ that you cannot say, "The Lord is my shepherd, and because He is, I have everything I need." Now, as you think about this promise, why is the Lord our shepherd? James Montgomery Boyce said this. This is a great paragraph. He said, "Shepherds had to live with the sheep 24 hours a day, and the task of caring for them was unending. Day and night, summer and winter, in fair weather and foul, they labored to nourish, guide, and protect the sheep. Who in his right mind would choose to be a shepherd? Yet Jehovah has chosen to be our shepherd." The more I learn about shepherding and the task of it that I've studied all throughout this year, the more I say to myself, that is one hard job. And yet the Lord chooses to be a shepherd to His people. Gentlemen, you may be aware of blessings that someone else has that you do not. You may be aware of things in your life that you wish were much different than they are. Let me tell you, if you know the Lord as your shepherd, you have everything you need. Everything you need. Verse 2, he says, he makes me lie down in green pastures and he leads me beside still waters. Sheep are fearful animals, easily frightened, easily panicked, and sheep will not go to sleep if they're fearful. Sheep won't go to sleep if they're having struggles with someone else in the flock, with another animal in the flock. Sheep can't go to sleep if they're not free from pests, and sheep can't go to sleep if they're hungry. Sound like anybody you know? Kind of described us, right? You can't sleep if you're hungry. You can't sleep if you're having conflict with someone in your family. You can't sleep if you're afraid. No wife ever in history said, "What was that sound?" And you said, "Oh, it don't worry. It was just a very small spider in the bed." "Oh, a small spider. Let's go to sleep." No, it's over. The house is being burned. If it's a snake, the house is gone right then. Well, no wonder the scripture refers to us as the sheep of his pasture. There is a lot of correlation. So when David says of the way that the Lord shepherds us, he makes me lie down in green pastures, what he's saying is the Lord himself is providing what I need when I would otherwise be restless. And just notice the verbs and who's doing them in verse 2. He makes me lie down. He leads me beside still waters. Verse 3, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. Gentlemen, don't forget, it's not that the Lord is our shepherd is just a close observer. He's the one working in your life. He's leading you. He's feeding you. He's providing for you. And ultimately, when he says he makes me lie down in green pastures, this is a picture of contentment. And it's not the kind of contentment that comes because everything in life is easy. It's the contentment that comes because the shepherd is near. Gentlemen, I can't give you a Bible reading plan that's going to make life easy for you. I can't give you a Bible study to go through that's going to guarantee everything in life's going to work out the way you want it to. You can't go to church enough Sundays in a row to ensure that disease is not going to enter your family. That's not the kind of contentment we have. The contentment we have is the reminder and the promise that our shepherd is near. If you've raised children, you remember when they were little. When my sons were little, I used to have to give myself like a locker room speech to get ready for nighttime, for bedtime. I had to get a motivational speech because it was like going into battle. We're tired. We're hungry. We're scared. I heard a monster. I think I heard something outside. I need one more drink of water. Daddy, will you pray for me? Daddy, will you tell me one more story? Can you read me a book? And I just had to get all the strength I could muster to survive bedtime routine. All of those excuses my kids came up with, children at nighttime all of a sudden become just the thirstiest creature on the planet. And children who wouldn't listen to you for the preceding 12 hours all of a sudden want to hear every story you can tell them. What are they after? It's not water. It's not information. What are they after? Your presence. Your nearness. There's just something about the dark that makes children really crave the nearness of their parents. This is the kind of contentment the Lord gives us as His shepherd. Doesn't mean it won't be a time of valley. Doesn't mean you won't go through the darkness. It's just the reminder that whatever you're facing, your shepherd is near. I'll tell you one thing the shepherd can't do. You can't shepherd from a distance. You have to be near. Which is why in 1 Peter 5, it calls the elders of the church, it says this, shepherd the flock of God among you. Why among you? Because you can't shepherd from a distance. You don't parent from a distance. You don't pastor from a distance. And we know that because our ultimate pastor, our ultimate shepherd, is with us, near us. So, gentlemen, regardless of your age and regardless of the season of life you're in, here's what I want you to understand. If you're a believer, the Lord is with you, caring for you, providing for you, walking right beside you. And because it's no other than the Lord Himself, you can rest and you can trust. We had a situation where my car had an issue late at night on the side of the road. I still carry AAA. I don't know if my hair still does AAA. When I was first on the drive, my dad said, you need to have AAA. So I still have AAA. I'm sure there's some cool new app for that I don't know about, but I still pay for AAA. So I called AAA, and they were going to come and help me to figure out what's going on with my car on the side of the road. I was out of town. And the guy showed up, and the first thing he asked me was, he said, well, do you know how to use this piece of equipment? And I said, no, I pay for AAA. And I got real concerned. See, somebody came near, but in that moment, I wasn't convinced the one who had come near knew what to do with what I needed. I didn't need a friend. I needed a deliverer. I didn't need someone to draw near and ask me how I was feeling about being stuck on the side of the road. I needed someone to take care of me. It's not just a matter of is someone coming. It's a matter of who's coming and what they can do. So when David says, the Lord is my shepherd, it's not just the nearness of someone. It's the nearness of Yahweh Himself. And men, whatever you're facing, in that moment, you have all you need. We'll pick up from that in our next session. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the comfort that it gives us. We are thankful that you are a shepherd, a faithful, good shepherd that helps us. You are our strength. You are our peace because you give us yourself. And for that, we give you praise. Amen.